We're concluding now the first full week of Lent. Tomorrow is the second Sunday. So we know already that Lent is a serious time, time to take seriously our relationship with God and with others, and to take seriously the need to discipline ourselves. It's a training period. It's a serious time. Lent takes us to the roots of our religion. We can keep digging deeper and finding out, why do we do this? And the answer, just so that there's no surprise, is always God's love. The answer for everything is God's love, because He is love. So if we're asking, well, why are we fasting? Well, because of the love of God. Why do we pray? Because of God's love. Why do we give alms? Why do we turn away from sin? Why do we follow the Lord? Why do we enter into this season? It's always because of God's love for us. That's not always obvious. It's not always obvious to us that these things are connected to a loving God who wants what is good for us. But if we dig deep enough, it's always the answer. And Lent is a preparation for Holy Week and Easter, right? It's a preparation to see the love of God on display on the cross, where it's not obvious that that's an act of love until we look deeper. Okay, well, I think today's readings bring us deeper, or strive to bring us deeper if we're willing to keep going. In today's first reading, we take an excerpt from the book of Deuteronomy. It's one of the passages in which Moses is giving instruction to the people. It's an instruction about the importance of following the law. Now, if we were to ask the Jews of Moses' time, or even of our time, what's the way to draw close to God? They would say, follow the law. Follow the law of God. That's the privileged way we have been given to grow, to find fulfillment, to find meaning, to honor the God who made us. Follow the law. And that's what Moses says here. But it's not simply a law imposed from on high. It's a commandment, yes. The Lord commands us to follow these laws. But He doesn't do it simply to burden us. It's because of His love. And this is how He says it. Today, the Lord is making this agreement with you. He says, you have to do this. You have to follow this law. And this is the way to live. Observe these statutes and commandments. That's on your side. But look at the Lord's side. He's making this agreement with you. You are to be a people peculiarly His own. There's something special about you in God's heart. There's something, well, unreasonable. He's peculiar in His love. I remember one of the verses from a song we sang last Saturday kept coming back to me during the week. Come to me, come to me. The song was Come to Me. Come and see. And one of the lines was, come and see a love outrageous. I said, a love outrageous? Yes. Something peculiar about God's love for us, that He would choose us, that He would have a special design for us. And then it says here, if you just follow all these commandments, if you follow me, if you listen to my voice, I will raise you high in praise and renown and glory above all other nations. You will be a people sacred to the Lord your God. This is what God wants. So He doesn't simply want obedience to the law. He wants us to be like Him. He wants us to share in His life, which is all love. Well, then and now, it's not always easy to live this way, because following the Lord challenges us. This comes up in today's gospel. Another excerpt from the Sermon on the Mount. You might have noticed that we're reading a lot from the Sermon on the Mount in the early part of Lent. Here, Jesus says, you heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's actually not in the Old Testament anywhere. Love your neighbor, yes, but it doesn't say hate your enemy. But that was just understood. I mean, you can't love the enemies. But that's exactly where Jesus corrects us. He says, no, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Why? Why do a thing like that? And then he gives the answer, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good. In other words, God loves his enemies. And if you're children of God, well then, do what he does. That's the logic of it. Strikes us, though, as being unfair. And this comes up a lot during Lent, whether God's ways are fair or not. It came up yesterday, if you remember the passage from Ezekiel, where Ezekiel said, if you turn away from sin and follow the Lord, if you leave behind all those sins, you can live. But if you turn away from God, if you turn away from the ways of God and practice evil, well then you'll die. And the prophet says, you're going to think that's unfair. And the Lord says, is it my ways that are unfair or are not your ways unfair? God puts this before us all the time. What's fair? Well, when we hear about God shining his sun on the bad and the good and giving rain to the just and the unjust, it can strike us as being unfair. Well, but does that mean it doesn't matter what we do? I mean, it doesn't matter if we're good or evil because the sun will shine on us anyway. Doesn't matter if we're just or unjust because the rain will fall anyway. That's not what it means. That's not what it means. It does matter. But God loves us even when we don't respond with love. And this is again, drawing us deeper. It's not simply about what we think is fair or unfair, or how we think things should be. It's about God who loves all his people, who wants everyone to get the benefit of the sunshine and the rain. If we stay in the basement and turn off all the lights and close all the windows and we live in complete darkness, it's not God's fault. He wants us to benefit. If we cover ourselves with plastic and cover our property with plastic so that no rain can penetrate, we can't get any benefit from the water that comes from heaven, it's not God's fault. Jesus continues to explain this. If you love only those who love you, well then you're living on a natural level. That's what anyone would do. Even tax collectors love those who love them. Even the pagans greet those who greet them. That's nothing particularly extraordinary. That's not peculiar. And he says, I want you to be peculiarly my own. I want you to be more like me, not just an ordinary fallen people. So he concludes with this, again, shocking line. Be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. And we say, well, that's not fair. We can't be perfect. We're not made perfect. We can't be perfect. You can't even get through one day without doing something wrong. And he's not talking about getting a perfect score. He's talking about being like God. And that is possible because God is the one who makes it possible. An example of this came to my mind this week. I hope it doesn't distract you, but I was quite surprised at the arrest of the former president and his deportation to The Hague to face charges from the International Criminal Court. You know, this former president Duterte was deported this week. It took me by surprise. I never expected him to have to face justice. Well, predictably, those who are against him are rejoicing that he's being put on trial, and those who are his supporters are protesting that he's being treated unfairly. In the political world, that's always the way it is. But I haven't heard anybody, or very few people, saying, let's pray for the former president. Let's pray for him. Let's love him. Not that injustice should be allowed, and just people should always be given consequences for wrongdoing in this world. But Jesus says, love your enemies, pray for your persecutors. Well, a lot of people found him to be an enemy, especially those whose loved ones were killed during the anti-drug campaign. And they have a right to seek justice. But that's not, everybody seeks justice. That's not necessarily the highest Christian virtue. No, Jesus tells us there's more to being children of God than simply seeking justice. There is love. Love even of your enemies. Love even of those who harm you. Now, what does love mean for a person who is being charged of crimes against humanity? Well, yes, we want him to experience consequences, just consequences, so that he can turn from sin and be reconciled with God. That's a Christian response. It's not in the news. Maybe people are praying for him. I hope so. But I think it's one application, one very small application of this gospel. Now, most of our enemies are the people who are we have personal connection to. Our family members, our colleagues, co-workers, neighbors. We're not talking about big politicians in big halls that we have people whom we have never met. Our enemies are people who we may have lived with for years and we just don't get along. What do we do with those people that are so annoying? Well, love them and pray for them. Love them and pray for them. Why? Because God loves them. Because God wants us to be like him in our relationship with one another. See how every time we dig deeper into our religion, we find at its root love. It's always love. Even peculiar love, even outrageous love, even love that seems so unfair. Well, yeah, it's unfair because God isn't only fair to us, he's merciful to us. He wants us to share his very life.